life and death and palliative care and hospice and trying to prepare patients for an upcoming death, it just gives you an interesting perspective on the fact that perhaps there is something beyond what we can see in the tangible world.
That's Dr. Scott Eveloff, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dr. Scott Eveloff is a pulmonary physician and author with 30 years of experience treating seriously ill patients. His experience with patient care and many resuscitations inspired Do Not Resuscitate. The novel was recently named the winner of the 2026 Independent Press Award in the horror category. Dr. Eveloff, welcome to Conversations.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about how your work in medicine inspired this novel.
Well, I've been in medicine for 30 years. I spent much of that time as a critical care specialist working in an intensive care unit. And in an intensive care unit, you literally confront issues of life and death on a daily basis. And when you do that, whether you're successful in resuscitating life or not, it gives you a very interesting perspective on not only what's going on in the here and now, but what could be going on in the afterworld or afterlife. So after years of participating in that sort of life and death, chaotic, everyday schedule, and then on my call nights, walking around the deserted halls of hospitals, which are incredibly spooky, I put everything together into a fictional novel, but based on, honestly, many aspects of true medical care and medical intrigue.
So tell us about the plot here. What are readers going to find?
Well, the protagonist is actually based in part on my own experience. It starts off with a newly minted intern who gets into trouble when one of his young patients dies gruesomely and suddenly. He's initially accused of incompetence, and then he's accused of a more nefarious intention, you know, towards this young person's death. So he desperately tries to clear his name, and in so doing, he uncovers a nightmarish conspiracy, not of any human agency like a evil pharmaceutical company or an angel of death that you typically read about, but actually he uncovers a conspiracy from afterlife, from lingering souls who have stayed in the hospital long past their death and have a sort of gruesome, unimaginable motive in terms of killing his patients.
Well, tell us a bit more about this intern, Harry Lindmark, because you say you draw in part upon your own experience, but a common experience to a lot of interns. He has to spend a lot of time at the hospital, and his personal life suffers as a result.
First of all, the beginning of the book shows how the intern, Harry, is roasted over the coals by his resident because he inadvertently told the mother of this young patient everything was going to be okay. That actually stems from something that has haunted me for greater than 30 years, where I actually told a patient's family something that wasn't confirmed. And I actually also got lambasted by my resident. It's haunted me so much, I thought I would make Harry more human and reflect my own experience by putting that in the book. But also, every single event that Harry undertakes is actually part of the normal intern and resident life. It's chaotic, it's high stress. You're thrown into a situation from medical school where you're literally in charge of patients' lives. Hopefully your resident will supervise you, but nonetheless, it's still extremely stressful, especially if you're somewhat on the insecure side like I was and like Harry is in the book. So it's a learning experience, but unfortunately you learn on the backs of living patients. And by the way, I should say that the way I portrayed patients is also quite accurate. I have some problems with how patients are treated in a teaching hospital by interns and residents, and I chose to bring that about in my book as well.
The villain in this novel is Dr. Sylvester Morrow. Without getting into too much spoiler territory, what can you tell us about him?
He actually embodies the actual personality of many attending physicians that I worked under. As I've said, it's a very stressful atmosphere. And at least when I was an intern and resident, it became a trial by fire or survival of the fittest, where no matter how hard you worked, you would have these attending physicians always expecting perfection and letting you know about it if it wasn't. So this Dr. Sylvester Morrow was one such doctor. He actually died a very ironic death. And that's all I'll get into about that. But that actually, in my book anyway, created his afterlife vengeful personality. And he is in charge of all the lingering souls. And as I've said, his main goal in killing Harry's patients is pretty unimaginable. And I just won't get into it because that gives away too much of the plot.
But even from the grave, he's not done giving interns a hard time.
Exactly. That's a very good way to put it. Even beyond the grave, that's exactly right.
So I'm curious about, this is a horror novel. I'm just curious about what appeals to you about writing in this genre.
I've always liked aspects of the supernatural, the unknown, horror, but mostly the supernatural. As I said, you know, being a doctor in any field, but especially a doctor such as myself, a critical care specialist and a pulmonologist, life and death and palliative care and hospice and trying to prepare patients for an upcoming death, it just gives you an interesting perspective on the fact that perhaps there is something beyond what we can see in the tangible world. So I've combined that skepticism that there isn't or is something beyond with what I see or saw on a daily basis. And that created this combined medical supernatural thriller that combines actual medical facts. And I put in ways to harm patients as well as to heal them with the supernatural unknown. I just thought it was a great sort of mixed genre to write. And I actually, you know, read that as well if I can come across a book like that.
Well, in addition to being an engaging read, are there takeaways for readers here?
Absolutely. And I'm very glad you mentioned that. I've become a rather strong advocate for dignity for the disabled and for patient rights, both of which actually come from my own personal experience with my son. And embedded into this otherwise entertaining supernatural medical thriller is my views on the disabled deserving dignity, whether they're cognitively disabled, developmentally impaired, or physically disabled. And I've used certain characters to bring that across. And in addition, as I've said, my advocacy for patient rights, I kind of bring out how patients can be used as teaching models or almost guinea pigs in a teaching hospital. And I've tried to bring out my views on that as well. So yeah, there are my own personal views supporting my advocacy for the disabled and for patients that hopefully come across in this otherwise entertaining supernatural medical thriller.
I want to come back to something you said just a moment ago, and it's something that you write on the back of the cover of the book. You write that in today's hospitals, instruments of healing can so easily be turned into instruments of death. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. As physicians, we fling around medications that could easily have a double-edged sword. But more important than that, there's been an increasing dependence on computers, which is not a bad thing, on electronic medical records, again, not necessarily a bad thing, and on AI. And it's become almost to where you believe what the computer tells you, or you believe what a certain lab test tells you, as opposed to being a bit more hands-on and circumspect with each patient individually. I think it's a trend that's quite dangerous. Obviously, technology has an important role in medicine, but I fear that we're leaving behind the human aspect and the hands-on approach. And so, yes, I think that instruments of healing in a hospital, if recommended to a doctor by what's in front of him or her on the computer or in numbers, can easily turn well-intentioned medical interventions into interventions that never should have been done at all. And I, you know, refer to many people being hacked. Well, what if a computerized system is hacked and an erroneous lab test is put in? Well, the doctor's going to act on that erroneous lab test, possibly to the harm of the patient, which again is part of the plot of my book as well. So that's what I mean, whether it's just the double-edged sword of very powerful medications that we use or the double-edged sword of technology and what we are told by computers or lab tests, I think it's open to the kind of plot that I put in my book.
There is a question that I like to ask authors of fiction, and it's this. If you could spend a day in real life with one of the characters from your novel, who would it be and why?
Well, I'm going to address my own personal views. One of the supernatural spirits or ghosts is inspired by my son, who passed away years ago. So, I mean, just from a personal experience, Kevin, the disabled ghost, I wouldn't mind spending time with him to see just what lies out there and offer any hope to grieving parents or patients. From a human point of view, I actually like Martin Bethany. He's a blowhard person who gives Harry all sorts of grief, but because of my own inclination, I'd like to spend time with him and confront him on what it really means to be a doctor. So those are the two supernatural and non-supernatural people I like to spend time with.
I'm also always curious about process. And in talking with a lot of different authors, some say they write with a map, others write with a compass. In other words, some people outline everything and other people just know where they're going and kind of figure it out along the way. How would you describe your process?
In the jargon among authors, they're known as either pantsers, authors who write by the seat of their pants, or outliners. I'm absolutely a pantser, only because to outline it would seem almost more like homework. And I write because I enjoy writing. And so I'll come up with an idea, I'll start doing it, write something, then maybe go out on my deck and think about it and think, oh, well, actually, maybe this could happen or that could happen. And so I like to be surprised by my own books almost as much as the reader does. So definitely I'm a pantser. I don't outline first. I, you know, come up with what I hope is a good plot or a good twist, write it down. And then a day or days later, I'll think about it and maybe revise it and be surprised. So yeah, I like to enjoy writing, not work at it.
And do you find that as you do that, sometimes you originally think your character would do this, but the more you get to know the character, your character lets you know that, no, I wouldn't do that. I would do this instead.
That has actually happened. And not only in this book, but in a few other books I've written. Absolutely. And that's what I mean is sometimes I'll just put something down. And then when I'm not writing, just kind of let my mind wander. Maybe over a good glass of whiskey or whatever, and think, well, no, that wouldn't have happened, or he wouldn't have done that, and I'll incorporate it into my next venture of writing.
As I mentioned in the introduction, your book has recently been named a winner in the 2026 Independent Press Horror category. Can you tell us a bit about that?
I still remain insecure about my writing, and the ways to get more security is to have totally uninvested, unrelated people review it. And so I enter writing contests, you know, both to hopes of winning, but also to see what people who are learned think of it. And so I entered this Independent Press Awards contest, and only recently was surprised to find that in the horror category, my book won, and it's a great honor. Plus the fact that it relieves a bit of my insecurity that perhaps, you know, my writing has promise. I'll put it that way.
Well, since you enjoy writing, I'm curious, what's next for you? Do you have another novel percolating?
Actually, I have had a second novel accepted for publication, and it's going to be released this coming May with a different publisher. This one is historical fiction with supernatural fiction. It's called The Gollum's Holocaust. I actually have a great deal of interest in the Holocaust, and as well as in Jewish tradition and history. And so I place a mythological character out of Jewish tradition called the Gollum into the Holocaust. And it's called The Gollum's Holocaust, and it will be out widely in May. And just very, very recently, I've actually had two other books accepted. One is a nonfiction book about my son, and one is another medical mystery novel. So I've just had a flurry of successes recently that I hope to continue on with.
Well, congratulations on those upcoming books. This current novel is Do Not Resuscitate by Dr. Scott Eveloff. Dr. Eveloff, thank you for talking with me today.
I so appreciate you having me. I hope this helped get the word out. And if people read it, I hope they enjoy it and take away some of my other messages from it as well.
You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You can use the KPR app to listen to the latest episodes on your phone or tablet, and you'll also find us on Facebook. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.